This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Sean, I'll tell you one thing. We know we have a first-class public address announcer. See what? He's having fun, and you can tell he's been waiting a long time to get on that microphone and enjoy the fact that the local team is on the field once again.
The stands are full, and you know this is my penance too, because I am also I've also spent some time as a loudmouth. Piega, I'm not insulting him. I'm having a little fun at my own expense. But you know, there are some people who say sanitize it, but you know, I thought it was classy. He did an up tempo, very upbeat, high energy intro for the Cavaliers, and you know, made the visitors feel at home. So I, you know, some people would like it nice and sanitized, but I think there's nothing wrong with a little energy out of the speakers.
Well, at Carlinville, Ross Thomas, when he does his thing on the PA system, he will get the crowd rolling, that's for sure. And it has led to success for the Cavaliers over the last several years. This year, we'll see if they can do it once again as they are on the sideline and they are ready to go. And over on the near sideline, here come the Falcons. Red and black is the school color. They've got the flags out there, the American flag, the school flag, decked out in their red over red uniform, black numbers with white trim, black bonnets. It's going to be kind of a warm situation for them today. The Cavaliers are in their white over blue with the blue numerals and the blue helmets.
Yeah, I feel for the cheerleaders. They have the black uniforms. It kind of adds to a little bit in toting black flags, so they're definitely drawing their extra share of sun, but yeah, pretty neat neat color scheme over there. You got the Atlanta Falcons logo stamped on the helmet.
Look like there's only, what, maybe about 30, 35 members on the Gibson City team?
Yeah, not a great program, but at this level, you're not going to have the benefit of depth most of the time, and that certainly appears to be the case here. So you're pretty thin, and you know, both teams, I know, want to avoid what you deal with this time of year, cramps, et cetera, much less more, you know, more, long-term injuries. I mean, a cramp is as short as it gets, but it's always interesting trying to keep a team hydrated on a day like this.
It will be number 28 for the Cavaliers. It'll be Mason Duckles kicking off, as the Cavaliers are going from our left to our right, or from the south end to the north end, so they'll be kicking with the breeze here in the first quarter. It's going to be a little short squib kick, and it's going to be down right at the 40-yard line, as the Falcons were ready for that. And coming up quickly to make the catch was Alex Ward. He quickly went to his knees. So Gibson City will have the ball first and 10 on their own 40-yard line.
Bobbled it just a little bit and did a smart thing and just took it down to the ground. You're starting in good field position. And you know how these openers can be. They can be dominated by turnovers and special teams, miscues and misplays. So take the safe route, take the good field position, and go forward.
All right, it'll be Kellen DeShepherd coming out, as he will have Jake Zumwalt as his fullback, Aiden Lowry the tailback, as they'll set up in the eye. With the split end, and the wing goes in motion. He'll come to the near side, but they'll go to the far side, as the pitch is going to be to Aiden Lowry. Lowry's going to make a good run. He's going to get out over the 50-yard line. It'll be a first and 10 for the Falcons after just one play.
Yeah, a couple nice nice cuts on that run, and I think, you know, you saw some bend but don't break defense from Carlinville, just some nice moves on the first play from scrimmage this season.
Now, they run the motion one way to kind of get you thinking they may be going that way, and then they do the toss sweep the other way for a little misdirection as it works for a first down. From midfield, first and 10, double wing, actually on the far side. He's a slot because there's a split end out there. He'll go in motion. They'll hand it off to the tailback. And Jake Zumwalt on the carry? And Zumwalt's only going to get a couple. Let's take it down to about the 48. Call it second and 8.
Boy, good work there by Rex Reels and Ryan Hart to double-team the ball carrier.
They were looking for that one up the chute. No misdirection to bother the Cavaliers. They said just stay home and watch what your problem is. Take care of your area. Now Fanson comes out wide to the near side here. So we've got a tight end on the far side. In the I formation, we'll send the wing back in motion. We'll give it off to the tailback, and that is Lowry. Lowry once again skirting around that right end. He gets the ball down to the 35-yard line, picking up 13 for another first and 10 Falcons.
Boy. Just, you know, some great speed running there to the outside, some good blocking on the right side of that line, and they've done a nice job of mixing it up in just three plays here in the running game.
Just underway, still 10 minutes to go in the first quarter. We're scoreless. The Falcons of Gibson City took the ball from their own 40. They've gotten it down to the Cavaliers' 45. This time they'll set Xander Weir over here on the near side in motion, the wing formation, faking to the tailback, looking down the field. Cavaliers doing a good job covering everything up. The Shepherd doing a good job of eluding all the would-be tacklers, and he ends up going all the way down to the 25. He's going to get another first down, I believe. Some poor tackling there on the Cavaliers.
Boy, I thought Colton Robinson just had him dead to rights, and that was the first escape, and he went like Houdini and got the heck out of town.
I stand corrected. They're going to say he went out of bounds just outside the 25, so that's going to bring up a second and one for the Falcons. I don't think they mind not getting the first down there. You're at second and one. You got three downs to play with here. Zumwalt, the only back in the backfield behind the quarterback who's up under center for this one. We'll go in motion again. It'll be a toss sweep. Whoa, pitched it behind him. And going to be a loss on the play as it was a good recovery there by Aiden Lowry just to be able to get to that one. And quickly coming over on the defense, Zach Reels makes the tackle for the loss. Going to bring up a third and about seven.
Well, I'll tell you what, and if not for that great turn to come back to the football, Mr. Reels would have had some real estate ahead of him.
He'd have been reeling them off.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to bring up a third and seven, as now trips are going to be sent out to the right side. They are running into the wind here in the first quarter as they set in the pistol, going shotgun. The Shepherd's going to roll out. He's going to look. He's still looking. He finds, found the receiver, and the receiver started a turn and run. That was Xander Weir. He started a turn and run before he made the catch, and the pass is incomplete.
Looked like some great pursuit there from Aaron Wills, the senior, who laid a hit on the quarterback as he released.
So what looked like a very promising second and one for the Falcons has now turned into a fourth and eight as the Cavaliers have taken advantage of that fumble for a loss, and now they have a good setup here looking for a fourth down play, get that stop, get that ball for the first time this year.
And you know, Gary, you talk about that stay-at-home defense earlier. That really pays off because you get too eager, first game of the season, all that energy, and it can backfire on you.
And now the Falcons, as they come to the line of scrimmage, I don't think Coach was really pleased with the play he called, so he'll call a timeout. 8:41 to go here, first quarter. We're scoreless. Falcons and Cavaliers on WSMI. Jen Graham, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Volker. Cavaliers do a little bit of adjusting on their defense, bringing Aaron Wills over here to the near side. Snap is bobbled, bounced once. The Shepherd gets the ball to come to him. Passes downfield, looking for Aiden Lowry. Incomplete. Cavaliers will take over on downs. Good defensive stand.
Yeah, and an unforced error or two along the way. And, you know, that pitch out's a beautiful thing when it works, but it can be problematic to get that timing down. And it's not college or the pros. You still have to go to school and take care of the needs of a growing teenager. But, boy, I'll tell you, first week can definitely bring some problems to iron out.
So the Cavaliers' Aiden Taberzi will bring the troops to the line. He's back in shotgun. Got two backs back there with him. One's going to go in motion. They're going to swing the pass out to him, and that is Carson Weiser. Weiser's going to be stopped after a very short gain. We'll give him a couple out to the 34. Call it second and eight.
Yeah, hit low there by Aiden Lowry, and almost could have been flipped like a pancake, but no worse for the wear.
That will send those wide receivers out to the other side as Ethan Seedlock is way out there. Now they said, nope, you come over to the other side. So he'll come wide to the right side. Henry Cooper takes the wide spot to the left. Mason Duckles out there with him. Only one back in the backfield with Taberzi. He gets snapped. He's going to give the ball up front. Oh, Mason Patton, just as he was trying to make his cut, had somebody knock his feet out from under him. Not really what you call a tackle. Just a trip, legal, but a trip.
Yeah, this looks to be an opportunistic defense. Boy, they swarm to that football. Five red shirts there in no time.
Duckles is out wide over to the left side. Along with him is Henry Cooper. Two wide over here to this side. That would be Seedlock and Weiser. Third and nine. Pass over the middle. Oh, beautiful pass thrown to Carson Weiser. He makes the catch, and he's out near midfield. Finally going to be brought down on about the 49. Needed eight. Picked up 15. First and 10, Cavaliers.
Man, through that pass, you know, we don't talk about touch all that often, but, you know, you talk about guys throwing a football that'll break your fingertips like Dan Marino. But, boy, the touch really setting the stage for him to get a nice set of yards after catch.
And he knew right where to put it as his receiver cut across the line of scrimmage. Big pickup for the Cavaliers. They're near midfield. They're going to go to the outside. Once again, as Patton tries to turn a corner, some pressure from the outside as it looked like Jake Zumwalt came in there for the tackle for a loss of two.
You know, that's a D-line with kind of some linebacker sensibilities and tenacity, and boy, they're not shy about getting across the line of scrimmage.
They are penetrating quite quickly indeed. As you said, it's only a three-man front. As we're running a 3-4 look on the defense, so the Cavaliers are going to swing the ball to the outside. This time the completion to Carson Weiser, he's able to turn the corner, get across the 50, down to about the 47, so we'll give him a gain of about 7. Going to bring up a third and still about 6.
I'll tell you, you know, and those people wonder, why do you run up the middle when, you know, 3 or 4 plays in a row it doesn't work? Well, it opens up some real estate right there on the outside.
Soften them up. Defense has to suck in, and as you said, that makes the perimeter much more attractive. Now it's going to be a handoff, and Taberzi decided he's going to keep the ball because there's no receivers coming open. He'll get down to about the 43, picking up about 4 yards. Going to bring up a fourth and short for the Cavaliers.
I don't know if he trying to outfox the red jerseys out there of the Falcons, but you know, he looked like he was just kind of going out of bounds on his own. Then all of a sudden, does this great lurch forward and got 2 or 3 extra yards out of it.
A little stutter step got the defense to lax just enough. It wasn't enough for the first down. Duckles back to punt. Cavaliers in good field position here, and they should get that ball down the field quite deep. Oh, nice punt as it hits on about the 5 and then slides out of bounds. That is an outstanding punt by the Cavaliers.
Yeah, and I like the blocking on that punt, too. I mean, that's one of the things that's usually one of the rougher spots in an opening game, and, you know, plenty of time to get that kick off.
Okay, they're going to say that it actually went into the end zone, so it'll be a touchback, and Gibson City will get the ball on their own 20.
I can't imagine there.
I thought that went out of bounds where it got to the pylon.
Yeah, it was a close call, but I guess it looked like it just knuckled on the other side of the pylon. How many 1A schools do you think have a video replay board? Isn't that something?
There you go.
That's such a great backdrop. I mean, we were talking about the backdrop, and then you got the water tower with the team logo to the left, and looks like the old Falcon logo right now. The helmets, they've got the newer Falcon logo. I like the old one more, but it's just a neat high school football backdrop.
Indeed, and it looks like as we have come inside the six-minute mark, they're going to take a water break. As they take a break in the action, we'll take one as well. We're scoreless. Gibson City, Carlinville, 0-0. Back after this. It was a quick water break, would you say?
I would say.
In any event, we didn't take any last night at Greenville. But Gibson City is going to march their offense back out on the field now. They'll take over first and 10 from their own 20. We are scoreless here halfway through quarter number one. Handoff's going to go to the tailback. That'll be Aiden Lowry. Lowry goes out to the 20, about to the 25. Coming up there on the tackle was that Kai Williams. Was the last one to get up off the pile. And we've got a flag on the play. It'll be a face mask against the Cavaliers. It's not a personal foul face mask, so if they gave him five on the run and then five on the penalty, that should move the chains. And it'll be a first down for the Falcons. Ball just outside the 30-yard line. That's one of those that's called when the hand comes across the face mask. As soon as he figured out he'd done something wrong, he let go. No jerking of the helmet, so therefore no personal foul. All right, it'll be first down for the Falcons. They have a tailback, and they have two wings. They'll fake. Quarterback is going to roll out. DeShepherd got a receiver and overthrows him, looking for Xander Wire. He was indeed open right there, Sean, but the pass just slightly overthrown.
Yeah, I didn't know if they were quite on the same page or if it was just a mere overthrow. But they, that play had the potential to go places. You still had a couple of defenders back there, but they could have gone deep into a Carlinville territory at the minimum.
Saw an outstanding passer last night, Greenville's Ryan Jackson. I think he completed 8-9 in a row before incompletion. He had an outstanding night. You talk about putting the ball on target. He was doing that all night long. Brings up second and 10. Handoff this time going to go to Wire. And he's going to break to the outside. It's off to the races. One man with a chance. Nope, he's going to go by him. And it'll go for a 70-yard touchdown for the Falcons.
Wow. You know, tackling is one of those things you refine, and a couple opportunities get to him early, and then you have one man to beat. And, again, you don't see these guys like a conference situation, so you don't know how fast that guy is. And I think Henry out there thought he had the right angle, and then he just kicked in the afterburners, found another gear, and he was gone.
Aiden Lowry with the touchdown of 70 yards. Point after attempt coming up as they will try to kick for one. As the snap is back, the ball is down. The kick is up, line drive, and it is blocked. And so with 4:41 to go here in the first quarter, it's the Falcons, who've come on the board first. They lead 6-0 here at Gibson City. Back with the Falcon kickoff after these messages on WSMI. So it is Gibson City on the board first as Aiden Lawfrey turned the corner on the right side, outran the Cavaliers for a 70-yard touchdown. Now the Cavies coming back. They got Siglock. He's got one man to beat it to the 40, and he can't do it. But an outstanding run back of that kickoff by Ethan Siglock.
Yeah, he got some momentum, I think, from blocking the kick. Even though it wasn't a classic block kick on that PAT, he's just out there playing center field, and it pretty much wound up.
Cavalier is going to be called for an illegal block, block underneath the knees. The flag is back at the 27-yard line. And if they mark it back that either way, it's going to negate an outstanding kickoff return by Mr. Siglock.
Hard to find anything in sports like that, watching that demoralizing march backwards. You know, I know hockey, they'll take away a big goal on an offsides call, and And that may be a somewhat of an equivalent, but that look of defeat when they have to go back 20, 30, 40 yards, ouch.
Well, the only thing that would have been worse is if he'd have broken free and ran the whole distance for the touchdown. Instead, they're going to back it up.
Worst optics in football, and then the 9 players are celebrating, 1 player sees the flag.
Yeah. They're going to spot the ball on about the 13-yard line. So from their 13, oh, pass that was tipped, almost intercepted. Got fingertips on it. Would have been better off if he hadn't touched it at all. Incomplete pass going to bring up a 2nd and 10.
Yeah, that's a scary one, and a couple of defenders in that immediate vicinity, and the words pick 6 come to mind, and you don't really want that within seconds of a previous touchdown.
No, so the Cavaliers, despite the fact that it was incomplete pass, should breathe a sigh of relief that that's all that it was. And they still got the ball for a 2nd and 10 from their own 13. Some kind of confusion there as the official goes over to talk to Coach Easterday. Okay, the marker over there said, okay, now they got a straight 2nd and 10. I thought there was something that took place there that I didn't know. So now to Bursey, going to fake the handoff. He's going to pass over the middle, and he's got the completion. Off to the races is Carson Weiser. Weiser decides to hesitate just a second, and I'm not sure why. I thought he had the defender beat, but he was run down by Aiden Loffrey. And so Weiser gets the Cavaliers down to the 25. Outstanding play there by Carson Weiser, but I thought he was going to the house.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a juke fake or something learned off of Madden, but you talk about a nicely thrown football on the money in the middle of 3 defenders converging on the receiver.
Yeah, and Taberzi doing an outstanding job of waiting until the receiver completes the pattern, makes the cut, and just as he's getting open, he's getting the ball. Now they're going to go toss sweep to Mason Patton. Patton's going to be brought down for little or no gain over there on the far side. Looked like Brandon Mueller coming up with a tackle on the 25. So we'll say no loss, no gain, 2nd and 10.
It seemed like you cut up field, and it seemed like there was a little tempting room on the outside corner, but you know how it is. You go out there and you run out of time.
I think Gibson City found out they only had 10. They run an 11th guy in, and now the Cavaliers run into trouble in a pile right in the middle, so they pull out and try to go outside, get back to the original line of scrimmage. Nope, they're going to go put them down at about the 26.
Nice little
stop the clock for what?
Nice little bounce back there by Patton after he ricochets off the defender and prevents a big tackle for loss.
I didn't see the flag on the field, but the officials are having a discussion. Probably with the breeze blowing that way, they're smelling those pork chops and probably wanting a pork chops. I think we'll get one of those at halftime. What do you think? He says, oh, okay. They're going to move the ball to the 25. It's still going to be 2nd down. I'm not sure.
No gain, I guess, on the play.
Okay. It was 2nd and 10. They say wind the clock. It should be 3rd down, but the down marker over there has 2nd. Could this be one of those Colorado plays against Mizzou here? We shall see. Cavaliers going to go for it, sending the pass long, deep. A little too long, and they're going to call an interference call on the Falcons. He went up well with his right hand, but I think he had his left hand on the shoulder. 2 flags come out down at about the 5-yard line. Pass was such that I don't think it had been completed anyway, but that is, I don't want to say questionable, but it's it's an interference call that could have been not called.
Yeah, Carson out there was campaigning, but the call had already been made. The one thing you can say is it was decisive. I mean, it's one thing you ask for. The call was made just like that. Point of contact, boom, the call made.
penalty on the field.
So they're going to make the call. On the defense. Call it till second down. Going to move it down to the 20. Nope, they're going to move it a little further.
I know in the NFL playoffs there were a couple of those pass interference calls that reminded me of an early sports broadcast with the big banner via satellite.
Yeah.
It had to beam up in space and come down before they made the call.
So when all is said and done, they're going to mark the ball down at about the 13-yard line. It'll be first and 10 for the Cavaliers. They trail 6-0, but they're knock, knock, knocking on the door. Taberzi gets a snap. He hands off, and I tell you what, the running back was swallowed up just as soon as he got the ball. Jacob Rutledge came right through the defensive line, and he picked off Mason Patton at the 12.
I tell you, that's just, you know, and again, that's what happens when you have a great program, great feeder programs, their instincts, and just, you know, just jumping the moment of the snap, their speed. It's almost like an Old West duel, and boy, they're right there with quick draw.
So they're saying now it'll be a second and 13 as he was tackled in the backfield. Cavaliers going to go to the air, opening there, and it looks like it's going to be intercepted by the Falcons. That's one of those, did he get his hands underneath it? The officials say, yes, he did at the 7. And so the Cavaliers have been marching down the field, but they have an interception to end this drive. And it's going to be Falcons ball with 2:33 to go here in the first quarter.
Oh, that's the kind that haunts you, you know. The receiver's not even running a route. He's out there like basketball, just posting up, waiting for the pass. Quarterback with time to throw. And sometimes it's almost like when you're, quote-unquote, too open. The receiver's too open, and you kind of think about it a little bit, and the pass sailed on them a little bit.
As a result, the Falcons with a good interception there. I didn't catch the number of the defender. I thought maybe it was Carson Maxey on the interception. But in any event, Falcons going to take the ball up the middle on first down. They're going to get the ball out to about the 10-yard line. So we'll say that was a short gain as they had spotted the ball at the 7. Gets it out to the 10, make it 2nd and 3. Second and 3 from the 10, ball setting on the left hash mark as the Falcons in their red over red uniforms are going from north to south. We're just inside the 2-minute mark of the first quarter, 6-0, Gibson City with the lead. The I formation, the fullback goes in motion. You don't see that a whole lot, but he does a little sliding. Tailback gets the ball, Aiden Loffrey, but Loffrey doesn't go anywhere with it because the Cavaliers are out there in force.
Yeah, and leading the way, Charlie Kessinger, boy, just a great read, and he shares the credit for that tackle, but a really great football instincts to snuff out that play.
Pack at the 10-yard line is going to bring up a third, looks like third and a long 6 for the Falcons as the clock is running and we're approaching the final minute of the first quarter on a beautiful Saturday afternoon in Gibson City, Illinois. I think it's my first trip to this fine town.
Me the same.
Here we go with a big play for the Falcons. Oh, they run to the inside counter trap. They avoid one tackler and get up close to the first down. See, what a good job there. The second effort coming up with the ball was that man Xander Weyer. And Weir is doing a good job getting the ball out to about the 17-yard line. And they're going to say that's enough for a first and 10 Falcons.
Yeah, Mason Duckles almost corralled him, but just slippery and gets away for that first down. Keeps the chains moving.
We used to call that the dead leg. He just kind of gave him that leg, and then when he grabbed for it, all of a sudden it was gone. Little juke step to the side. He continues on for the first down. First and 10 from the 17. Gibson City with the ball and a 6-point lead, 6-0. Motion man goes into the middle. They try to go off left tackle. Aaron Wills is there for the Cavaliers, the big 6'5", 200-pound senior. Wraps him up, brings him down for a short gain.
Gain of 3, brings up 2nd and 7.
You know, I look at Aaron Wills out there, and I don't have boxing-like reach statistics on me, but, boy, 6'5" and those long arms, that really has to pay off, even if you don't get the tackle, just to sometimes slow down the runner.
Amen. Good play to end the first quarter. Good tackle, as you said there, by Aaron Wills. 6-0, Gibson City with the lead after one quarter. We'll be back after these messages from WSMI. First quarter in the book, both teams have had opportunities. Gibson City was able to capitalize on theirs. Carlinville had a couple of long runs, one that we thought might go the distance, but he was brought down, and as a result of the interception, no points on the board for the Cavaliers. But I think, Sean, they got to feel pleased with their play in the first quarter.
Yeah, they saw some adversity in times on defense, and inside the 20, they really tightened up. And, you know, that's all you can ask for is a team that's not going to panic in the opener. And, great learning experience. The offense, I think, has found its stride, and we'll see some positive signs.
And so now we'll turn around, and the team in red, that is Gibson City, they will be going to the north. They'll run up the middle. Loughery, once again, gets the handoff. He gets out over the 20 to about the 25-yard line. So we'll give him a gain of 5. Going to bring up third and about 2.
Yeah, a lot of blue shirts out there getting it done. Kai Williams leading the way, the 5'9 senior, in the mix of 4 or 5 defenders on that hit. Try to wear the big running back out before he wears you out.
There you go. Carlinville going with some beef there in the middle, as they'll have Kyle Carricker playing at the nose now, 5'8", 290-pound senior. He requires 2 guys, I guarantee you. He's getting a triple team, and they're running right behind that triple team out to about the 35 for a first down.
Well, that's power football. Okay. I mean, looks like a bunch of snow plows taking to the highway.
Yeah, they're not the biggest guys. Their offensive line shows some good size, but I tell you what, there's some good power there. 215, 220, 250, 270, and 290. They pack a wallop when they come firing across. Cavaliers setting up with a 4-man front. They're going to go right at it again. Going to pick up 3, 4, maybe 5 yards as they're out near the 40-yard line.
Second
are the Falcons.
Keeping it
ground and pound.
Yeah, ground and pound. Fairly vanilla game plan for the moment, but it's working.
Yeah, you got to be careful here. Kalen Robertson into the lineup. It's a wide receiver. He's out here all by himself. Weir is over there on the wingback formation. They're in an eye behind the quarterback, handing it off to the tailback, Loughery. Loughery's going to be stopped right at the line of scrimmage as he was tripped up coming across the line of scrimmage. Cavaliers with good penetration there.
Boy, nicely done. And the front line getting in the mix there. And Hannah making his presence felt in particular.
Yes, indeed. And once again, Aaron Wills doing a good job defensively. Ryan Hart over there was in on the tackle last time, as well as Colton Robinson. I think Robinson's probably in on most of the plays. It's going to be a toss sweep to the near side. Tailback's going to hold, waiting for his blocks. Blocks are a little slow getting there. It's going to be wrapped up there by Zach Reels for the defense at the 45. He's going to pick up 5, going to bring up a 3rd, and still about, well, they're going to call it 3rd and 1, as he didn't quite get to the 45. That'll make it 4th, they said. 4th down. I missed it down somewhere.
Huge play here. Keep it a one possession game and get the football on their side of the field.
Well,
if you pull this off.
They're going to go to the fullback, and the fullback's going to go right through the middle. He's going to get the ball to the first down they're going to call a fumble at the end of the play. Did the Cavaliers come up with
recovered
that?
Recovered by the Cavaliers.
I thought his knee was down for a first down, but they're going to say that the Cavaliers came up. It looked like Ethan Gibble was in there, made the tackle.
Oh, that's huge because I'm telling you, on a hot day, eventually that running game is going to wear down a defensive line. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's nice to have control of your own destiny in that regard right now.
Yeah, and the Cavaliers stopped that drive, even though the first down looked like it was gained. He fumbled the ball away as he went to the ground. Cavies on the spot. Taberzi now is going to roll out. He had two receivers together, either Weiser or Duckles, and neither one could come up with it. Second and 10 from the 50.
Second down and 10.
Kind of looked like baseball. A couple of outfielders saying, I got it, I got it.
I got it, you take it. They'll get that straightened out. That's just first game problems. And
yep, no preseason at this level.
Yep. So now we've got Trips over on the right side as Duckles is over here on the left hash mark. He's looking deep. Oh, he was smacked as he threw that one. And the ball was almost intercepted. Kellen Fanson had to go right through his hands. I'm guaranteeing Aiden Taberzi never knew where that ball went. He was hit as he released. Going to bring up a third and 10.
Aiden Sankin, sophomore D lineman. Boy, he did. He laid a pretty good hit. And to say the release was impacted would be an understatement.
And Gibson City is kicking themselves that they didn't get the ball here. Now maybe the Cavies with a third and 10 from the 50-yard line. Get a long pass here and make him pay for that mistake. Instead, we're going to have a flag thrown over on the far side. A procedure call against CHS. Going to take it back to the 45, make it third and 15.
5 yard penalty, bring it back to third and 15.
Now, they're making it too easy. The penalty's up on the video board, and, you know, it's. They got all the home cooking's a beautiful thing here.
Yeah. And, of course, we have 8:24 to go till halftime. Timeout on the field. Cavaliers trailing 6-0. When we come back, it'll be third and 15 from the 45 for CHS. You're listening to WSMI. Well, it may have been a timeout for the players, but for the officials, it was a water timeout as the water boys for Gibson City take care to make sure the officials all get a quick drink. This announcer will do so as well.
Not a bad call. You know, it's still hard to imagine all those years where it was thought as a great way of building toughness to have players practice without water, and I just can't imagine.
And I remember after practice, we used to have to go into the coach's office and take salt tablets.
Oh.
One of the worst things you can do for yourself, but that was a requirement of the time. Maybe that's why I turned out the way I did. Receivers running across the middle. Receivers running deep. Taberzi can't find anybody, so he's going to have to take it out of bounds as he's going to be forced out at about the 37, 38-yard line. But I'll tell you what, that was a smart play and not throwing it away to the opposition.
Yeah, best plays you make sometimes, the old cliche of the plays you don't make. And, you know, the equivalent of a coverage sack. I mean, all the time in the world to throw initially, but everybody well covered downfield.
So it should be punt time for the Cavaliers. Who they got back there punting? Is that Taberzi?
Punt number 28, Mason Duckles.
Oh, Duckles back there. Duckles with his gloves on, standing at the 25, calls for the ball. Gets a good snap. Nice high end-over kick. Fair catch called for at the 31. Tell you what, that one I didn't catch the number of the Carlinville center. I'm figuring it was Kai Williams. But perfect pass to the punter. So important.
Oh, I mean, that really is. That's where these early games can really go awry. And you have to appreciate a guy in midseason form in a crucial spot like that.
And so at about the 31, it'll be first and 10 for Gibson City. As the Cavies punting into the wind, got a pretty good punt out of that. And the fair catch meant no run back as well. Kellen DeShepherd will bring his troops up. He's a lonesome man, I guarantee him, because he's got one man in the backfield, two wide left, two wide right. See what he wants to do at first and 10 from the 31. He's going to hand it to the single back in the backfield, and that back is Jake Zumwalt. Zumwalt came out, didn't have anybody to touch him until the safety came up at the 46, gain of 15 yards. First and 10 for the Falcons. I'll tell you what, Zumwalt was a load going down the tracks there.
Yeah, I think we had what... I don't hear the term that much anymore, but the old trap block. Let the defender through and open
outside.
Some space and take flight.
And when you come through as a defender and get cold cocked from the side like that, it is so discouraging. So now, the snap is bobbled, and so he does all that he can do, getting the ball up for a little bit of a run. Harris Naputi doing a good job getting in the backfield for the Cavaliers. I'm going to say he got back to the line of scrimmage for a second and 10.
Bring up second and 10.
And had he bobbled it a little bit more, Naputi would have taken it out of his hands and headed to the end zone. What might have been.
Yeah, they've had a couple of moments like that.
But instead, it'll be a second and 10 from the 46 for the Falcons. They're heading north. As we said, they're decked out in their red over red uniforms, black numerals, white trim, black helmets, eye formation. Hand off to the tailback, and the tailback is going to be met there and brought down quite quickly, as coming up with the play was Connor Strutner for the Cavaliers as he came shooting through to make a big stop.
Now, that was good tackling technique. That was a clinic there. Get the lower body, drive, leg drive, and don't go for the big hit. Just take him down, kind of like the rodeo. Rope that cavy up.
Strutner is a 5'7", 140-pound junior, but he had some quickness that time getting into that backfield so soon. Now we've got a sideline warning from the coaches.
I don't know if the cavy was the best term either. I was thinking of a cap. Ironic.
In any event, it's going to be third and long. Trips over to the far side, the wide side. DeShepherd's going to roll out. He's going to try to square up. Whoa, can't find a receiver. And he finds Zach Reels right in his face at the 37 for a loss of four. Going to bring up a fourth and 19. Zach Reels, he saw that the quarterback rolling left, wanting to try to square up to throw with his right hand, it was going to take time. He didn't give him any time.
I'm trying to lay off of the rodeo analogies, but that looked like a rodeo move there. He brought him down and roped and ride.
I guess all he had to do was rope three legs and call for the time. Heard that used, that illustration used in a ball game last night. Gibson City, maybe the reason they had problems on that last play, they only had 10 players out on the field. 11th guy comes in there, and they're all set for punt formation. High snap, handled by the punter. Oh, a long kick, sending him back to the 20. Cavaliers fumble the ball. Then they elude the tackler coming down, and it looks like they're going to get out to about the 25-yard line. And I believe there's going to be a flag on the play. Looked like they may have got a face mask there.
Yeah, and I forget, shame on me, if the horse collar thing is called at the high school level, that may just be the pros, but... Looked like that came into play too, but that may not be a call. I might have to go back to my IHSA.
There you go.
Rules of the road book.
Face mask
on the 26-yard line. Face mask call is what is made, so the officials will mark it off. Looks like they're standing just outside the 25-yard line. This is going to be a 15-yarder. This is not going to be an incidental. This is going to be. You got all of that.
First and 10 at their own 41.
So from their own 41, Cavaliers will have a first and 10 halfway through quarter number two. 5:10 to go till halftime. 6-0 Gibson City with the lead. Cavies send two receivers wide to the left. One will stack behind the other. They'll give it to the running back. And was that Duffel that time? Nope.
Looks like Egelhoff.
Okay.
Carey, number 42, Luke Daughtry.
Now I'll take that back.
Luke Daughtry. Daughtry doesn't get much as the ball is still spotted at the 41. It'll be a second and 10 for CHS. So Daugherty is in the backfield. Now they're going to roll out. Oh, nice pass, nice catch. The receiver there was Ryan Hart. Hart makes the grab and gets the ball out over the 45 to about the 47. So it's going to be a gain of about six. Going to bring up third and four. Nice pitch and catch there.
Third down and three.
Yeah, I like that play. I'm a big fan of that power football in the passing game, as I like to call it.
You don't have to throw it deep. You can pick up yardage after the catch as well. Trips now set out to the left, or excuse me, to the right side for the Cavaliers. Going to be a quick pass out there with a double screen ahead of him. Carson Weiser makes the catch. He gets over the 50. He gets inside the 45. He's going to be driven out of bounds, but not until he gets a Cavalier first down.
Yeah, I like this. They're starting to get into a rhythm a little bit here.
Well, they're into Gibson City territory as the ball is down to the 43. I like those trips out there because you throw the pass out there and you have two lead blockers immediately in place to go downfield. So it'll be first and 10 Cavaliers from the 43-yard line of Gibson City. They're going to hand off to the tailback. And this time, the running back is Luke Daugherty, 5'8", 160-pound senior. He's going to be wrapped up in the backfield for a loss on the play of a couple back to the 45, second and 12.
Mm. That front line, they're getting it done, that front three. They're a handful.
Cavalier offensive line, a little bit porous, as we would say on that one. Now we got a receiver over here, as he's way on the wrong side of the line. Now he steps back. That's Siglock. He asks the official. He says, I'm in good position now, aren't he? He said, yes, sir. You're all right. We'll send a man in motion. They're going to throw the ball over to the left side on that little bubble screen. And it is Carson Weiser who makes the catch and then spins, continues on down inside the 30, down to about the 25, 26-yard line. Weiser with a good run after the catch on the bubble screen.
Boy, you look at some of those passes and they don't reach their potential sometimes because the guy's focusing on the catch and they're out at the same time. It looked like he already knew where he was going before he had the football.
Pre-planned. Siglock with two wide left, two wide right, one behind him in the backfield. He's going to swing it out here once again to Weiser. Weiser's got Ethan Siglock as a blocker ahead of him. He gets down close to the 20. They're going to say he's driven out of bounds on about the 22. We'll give him a gain of four. Call it second and six.
Gain of five on the play. Brings up second and five.
Nice little run. They have getting some yardage when they work to the outside.
They'll mark the ball down at the 21, 22-yard line. 2:21 to go until halftime. 6-0. Gibson City with the lead, but Cavaliers are on the move once again. Daugherty in the backfield as a setback. It's going to be a toss sweep to him as he'll go outside. Picked up a block, ran off tackle on the right side. Gets the ball down to about the 15-yard line. Daugherty with a nice gain of seven. Should be a first and 10, I believe.
Boy, he had a great head of steam. And, boy, just a nice hole opened up. And, you know, you got to hit it quick and hit it hard, and he exploited it.
Doing a good job there as he's come into the backfield for the Cavaliers. Acts like he's been there his entire life, doesn't he?
Yeah, old pro.
Here we go, first and 10 Cavaliers. This time they're going to give it back to Daugherty. I bragged about him too much as he ran into a wall of Falcons at about the 20-yard line, and they'll bring him down, give him progress to the 19. Still a loss on the play, going to bring up a second and 13. Want to remind you, as we look ahead, we have more football coming your way on WSMI this evening, as Gillespie will be at Litchfield. Live broadcast comes your way tonight at 6:45 on WSMI FM 106.1. It'll also be streamed on WSMIRadio.com. 5:10 this afternoon. The Cardinals are at Pittsburgh. You can hear that game on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9 and 92.9. Looking ahead to next week, our high school football schedule includes on Friday live coverage of Greenville at Gillespie. Got to see Greenville last night, a very impressive team. They'll be traveling to Gillespie to take on the Miners next Friday night. You can hear that broadcast live at 6:30 on WSMI FM 106.1 and WSMIRadio.com. And then Saturday, we'll have a Saturday afternoon delight. Pena at Hillsboro, live action comes your way at 1:45 on WSMI FM 106.1 and WSMIRadio.com. Well, Sean Valent, we have a minute 48 for the Cavaliers to convert and get a first down, then a touchdown. Second and 13, what do you think?
Yeah, second and 13, I'm telling you, the Goodwill to go to.
I'm telling you, that person that has that blue umbrella better not let it get any higher. It's almost in my range of view. Following the timeout, the official's not certain. No, the ball didn't move. Everything's fine. Now the Falcons, maybe there's an equipment problem there. As it looked like Rylan DeVries has to come over and take care of a helmet issue.
I'd say work at the Carson in the corner.
There you go.
Corner pocket.
I like that call. Third, or they're calling second and 13, I'm sorry. Over the middle, and it's intercepted once again. That was one of those situations where Aiden Taberzi was so concentrated on his receiver, he did not see the deep ender coming in from the opposite side. The flow of the play was going left to right. The defender came in from right to left, and Jake Zumwalt comes up with an interception. Second time today that the Cavaliers have had a drive stop via the interception.
Oh, that's a tough pill to swallow right before you head in the locker room. You know, just a nice, sustained drive, overcame a hiccup or two, and that one hurts.
Leaves a bad taste in your mouth. 100 seconds to go till halftime. Gibson City with their second interception of the day. From their own 20, they'll go to the fullback, and it's ground and pound as he'll take the ball out to about the 24-yard line, bringing up a second and six.
8 seconds. Picked up 4, second down 6.
You have an idea that Gibson City's content to take a 6-point lead into the locker room here at halftime.
Yeah, huddling up, doesn't seem to be any sense of urgency.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, you make an interception like that, sometimes it's good to come back quickly on that first play and go for broke. You've got the Cavaliers shell shock. Now they go man in motion. They'll go toss sweep, bring it around the near side. Oh, the Cavaliers come up swarm that one quickly. Number 69, Colton Robinson, come up 6 foot, 240-pound senior. And I'm telling you, he got out there to the outside before he had the chance to turn a corner. Colton Robinson, good defense.
Boy, just took flight to get to the ball carrier. Nicely done. And, you know, we talked about the tackling at the outset, some missed opportunities. The tackling's been crisper. I think the defense is getting better minute by minute in this game.
Well, we've got less than a minute to go here in the second quarter. Tripp's going to be sent out to the left, down to 20 seconds, clock running. Going to take advantage of those trips. Is he going to try it, or is he just going to give the handoff? He'll give the handoff. It'll be a nice run. Good enough for a first down. A little extra activity there as the play is over. The official steps in and says, that's enough, boys. Both back away. So they'll stop the clock with 9 seconds to go. Move the ball out to the 33-yard line. And Gibson City is going to call a timeout. As they call a timeout, we'll take a break as well and be back after these messages on WSMI. Into the final seconds, literally the final seconds of the first half. It is a first and 10 for the Falcons. The Cavaliers have sent Henry Kufa back 10, 20, 30, 35 yards. They have four backs in front of him. Now they'll come up a little closer, but you talk about a prevent defense. And so now after all that, the Shepherd decides to run, and he'll go out of bounds at the 33-yard line, bringing up a second and 10.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's just a smart football or if they maybe check the Gibson City archives, and there may have been a little play where they kind of played possum, and then all of a sudden, here you go.
Well, we're going to go double tight. We're going to take a knee, and that's going to be the end of the first half. After two quarters of play here at Gibson City High School, it is Gibson City 6, Harlanville nothing. Back after these messages on WSMI. It's going to be kickoff time here to start the third quarter. Gibson City is going to get a toe into it. It'll be a low line drive kick. Going to come down on about the 18-yard line. Got Duckles on the return there. Duckles going to get the ball out over the 25. Looks like they're going to mark it. I believe they're going to mark it about closer to the 30-yard line.
Yeah, not much to work with there. They had a good defense mobilization downfield, and just took the simple route. Let's keep the football and start off with the 30. Not bad.
Mason Patton in the backfield now for the Cavaliers. He'll start out as the tailback behind Taberzy. Taberzy asks for the ball. He gets a snap. He's going to look deep on the first play. He's got a receiver out there deep, got behind the defender. But the pass was just slightly overthrown. Henry Kufa, the 5'8", 150-pound junior, he laid out, did all he could, but just could not get up to the ball.
And it looked like he was on the verge of getting some great separation. I think he might have gotten tangled up with the defender, too, incidental contact.
Going to bring up second and 10. Will they do it again? Trips over to the left side, the far side. They're going to hand the ball off instead to the running back up the middle, and he's going to be swarmed by three or four Falcons and brought down for little or no gain. And that was Mason Duckles on the carry. They're going to call that a loss of one back to the 29. We'll make it third and 11. You talk about swarming to the ball. The Falcons defense did that.
Boy, it has been hard to establish. You know, we talked a lot about GCMS being a ground-and-pound operation. Been hard to get that going in Carlinville.
Cavies with three wide receivers out here. They're going to go to the wing. Oh, nice pass to Carson Weiser. Weiser's going down the sideline. He's still running. Simple little pass, but once Weiser caught it on that little bubble screen, he heads down the sideline, and he gets all the way down to the 24-yard line of Gibson City's outstanding play, outstanding catch, but even more outstanding run after the catch.
Once again, another case where there was enough room there, defenders far enough away where you could float it, put some touch on it, and that just paved the way for another monster run downfield.
So the Cavies are in business. They've been here before. Let's see what they can do this time. They'll try Duckles. Nope, this time it was Mason Patton on the run. He got no gain at all. Going to bring up a second and 10 from the 24. Cavies not having much luck getting that running game going, but softens that defense up and enables them then to pass over the middle if they wish.
Boy, those defenders, you know, the D-line, the linebackers, they're big enough to penetrate and athletic enough to catch you wherever you're going to run the football.
Siglock and Weiser out to the outside. Got a receiver there. That's Siglock as he worked his way inside, planted that foot, kicked back out to the sideline, made the catch. Siglock with a nice run takes it down inside the 15. Looks like they're going to call it about the 13 and give him the first 10 Cavaliers.
Well, nice execution, and another hopeful drive here, but the passing game really clicking here for the Cavies.
Now here's where you've got to not make a mistake. The Cavaliers have been here before. And now they need to convert. They'll send the man in motion. That'll be Carson Weiser. And now we're going to have a procedure call against the Cavaliers. Backs the ball up to the 18, makes it a first and 15. You know, in some cases, I would say that penalty is really demoralizing. But with the way that the Cavaliers can chew up yardage, I think they can get it back, because once they make the pass, if it's completed, run after the catch has given them good yardage time and again.
And it could indeed open up a little bit of space out there as you get those extra 5 yards.
First and 15 from the 18. Throwing over the middle, it's going to be caught down inside the 15 to about the 14-yard line. So it's going to be a gain.
Pass completed to number one, Ethan Siglock.
Siglock on the gain with a on the play with a gain of 5. Going to bring up second and long 9 as the ball is spotted at the 12. We'll work it at the 11. We'll fake the handoff. Got the receiver out there. It's Siglock. He makes the catch at the 10. He turns the corner. Going to be wrestled down at about the 7. So needed 9. Picked up 7. Going to bring up a third and short. They're going to give him
5. Nice play action rollout there. Throws on the run and defender in pursuit. And just bought enough time and opened up enough territory to get a good positive gain there.
Looks like the ball's resting on about the 7-yard line over here on the right hash mark. 8:35 to go, third quarter. Twins set out over on the left side, man in motion back the other way. Tossing out there to the bubble screen, gives it off to Siglock. He finds his way through and into the end zone. Siglock with a touchdown.
Nicely done. Just had the nose for the goal line, got it through, and I know the Falcon fans got a little excited because seemed like he was going for a spike and the ball was loose, and they thought, well, maybe he didn't have possession, but officials rule he did indeed play over and hit the goal line, and you got 6.
And as we said, no problem for the Cavaliers because they can pick up yardage after the catch, and that's exactly what Ethan Siglock did there. We've got a penalty flag down before the play even transpires. We're going to have an offside.
Defensive offsides.
Right now I'm sitting beneath the MVC, the most valuable cloud. It seems like it dropped 15 degrees here.
It was an 8-play drive that covered 70 yards to start things off here in the third quarter for the Cavaliers. Scores tied. Not anymore.
Extra point is good. The score with
the extra point was on the kick there. Duckles on the kick for the extra point. Just like that, Cavaliers have taken a 7-6 lead over Gibson City. We'll be back with the Cavalier kickoff after these messages on WSMI. The penalty did not hurt the Cavaliers as they had the ball at 13, moved it back 5 to the 18. Didn't matter because in 2 plays, the Carlingville Cavaliers converted. Aiden Taberzi to Ethan Siglock, 7-yard touchdown pass. Point after attempt is good. The 7-6 lead for the Cavaliers on top for the first time tonight, or I should say today. And the ball is... Kickoff is down deep to about the 20.
Stop from the play by number 22, Ryan Hurt.
Kellen Fanson coming
the
up for the run back.
First and 10 at their own.
So now the Falcons trailing for the first time this game, first time this year. This is a opener for these teams. We'll get the ball, and they will scrimmage from their own 37.
In our confident program, I don't think you'll, of course, you're not going to see a panic button, a one-point game anyway, but especially not from these guys.
Cavaliers coming up with 4 down linemen to seal off that inside, and they do as they penetration was good, and then coming up at the tackle, Colton Robinson once again, as it was a gain of only a couple by Loughrey. Robinson did a good job of getting through the line, then penetrating down the line of scrimmage to make the tackle for a short gain.
Boy, hunted him down. That was an impressive piece of work there on defense.
And the thing about it is that defensive lineman coming down, if you try to make as a runner, if you try to make any kind of a cut back, you're going to be cutting right back into him, and that's not a good idea either. Robinson, once again, Colton Robinson, 6 foot, 240-pound senior, another big defensive play. Second and eight, the eye. They'll fake to the fullback, fake to the tailback. Going to go a little bit too deep for the intended receiver, Xander.
Number 44, Xander Weir.
Weir.
Number 14, Charlie Kissinger.
Ran that short pattern to the outside. They ran it a couple times, and it seems like the quarterback on the move is having trouble meshing with his receiver, as they say.
Yeah, and Aaron Wills gave him a little something to think about, too. He was more than a distraction. Great pursuit from Wills as quarterback had to maybe just move that football along a little faster.
7:23 to go with the clock stop due to the incomplete pass. Cavaliers have taken the lead. Now they need to make a stop here, get that ball back. DeSheppers is going to roll out. He's under duress as he's heading over there. He's not going to find anybody, and he'll go ahead and run out of bounds as Aaron Wills was chasing him. But Aaron Wills was smart enough there, Sean, that he knew once he gets close to the sideline, don't drill him out of bounds.
No, it's just smart football. And, again, midseason form in that regard. And, you know, this defense, I think, is a more confident defense than they were at the opening kickoff.
They made a few adjustments, and I think there was a, shall we say, come-to-yourself kind of a speech, as they would say. Set them straight on, this is the way we do it, the Cavalier way. Been effective in the first series. Oh, that punt may have been partially blocked as it comes down on about the 45, and it's going to be down there. Cavalier is going to have outstanding position as that ball was tipped and went spiraling up, came down on the Gibson City 47-yard line.
Yeah, big drive here. You know, this was this felt like a pitcher's duel.
Yeah.
Like every score is huge, and I think to just get another drive, I think you just you really could get some momentum going here. And boy, this is when you think of places to collect an opening season win, this is a pretty good prize if you can get it.
They'll mark the ball at the Gibson City 46-yard line, and as we said, the Cavaliers came out in the second half, took possession of the ball with the opening kickoff, marched 7 yards for the touchdown to Bursey, to Ethan Seaglock with final 7 yards for the touchdown. Now the three and out as the defense did their job. Cavaliers offense comes back out on the field with 7 minutes to go here in the third quarter and an opportunity to create some distance and increase that one-point lead.
You know, and no big plays per se from the Cavaliers, but they stopped the Falcons from imposing their will, because I think that's how you sum up the first half. They really imposed their will.
Well, when you look at the defense for Gibson City, they have 8 two-way players. So even though we've had a breeze this afternoon, that's got to be wearing on those players who've been going two ways. They haven't had a lot of rest. And a couple of those two-way players are 220, 250, 215, 290. So you know that the heat is beginning to take its toll on them.
Yeah, two-way player, one-way trip to the swimming pool.
There you go. We go with the running back, and this time it's going to be Mason Patton. That may be Patton's best run of the day. As I'll tell you what, he looked Beetlebomb Bailey there as he got that one and went straight ahead and got the first down. However, we have a Cavalier down on the play. Is that Gage Hanna? Yes. I mean, he has some intense leg issues. Just hope that it's a cramp. They're taking care of him. They've got him to his feet. Mike Geist, they're taking him to the sideline. Well, the way he went down in pain, I thought that was going to be a serious problem. But they do get him off the field okay. They'll take him over to the side. Let's hope that it is just a cramp. And there's no such thing as just a cramp when it happens to you.
No doubt about it. The thousand needle feel of a cramp.
But in any event, Mason Patton, the 5'8", 165-pound senior, he gets the first down, taking the ball down to the 32-yard line. So a pickup of about 14, ball resting on the Gibson City 32, just about evenly between the hash marks of the field. Cavies come up to the line of scrimmage. They'll have those three receivers wide over to the left side. One will step up to the line of scrimmage, thank you very much. The other two in the backfield. They'll fake it, and DeBerzy will keep it. He'll head towards those three backs as his lead blockers. He gets down inside the 30 to about the 29. We'll give him a gain of maybe three. He'll make a second and a long seven.
I'll tell you what, with that three and out and that long Carlinville drive, that Falcon defense has been out there for a while.
Yes, indeed. We're down to 6:20 here to go in the third quarter. Cavaliers on their last possession, march 70 yards. DeBerzy to Siglock for the 7-yard touchdown. See if they can put another one on the board right here. As DeBerzy sends the man in motion. Now he'll fake the handoff. He'll roll out to his right. He's looking. Now he's going to keep the ball. He'll go down the sideline. Got something out of nothing as he got that ball down to about the 22-yard line. Picked up seven, and he was doing the old pointing at his receivers the whole time.
Well, that was impressive. Making something out of nothing. Lemonade out of lemons. Nicely done, because that play, he had nowhere to go. One thing that's going right with the Falcon defense, they're still pretty airtight on coverage.
Taverzi now takes the snap. He's going to throw the quick bubble screen to Siglock. Siglock knows what to do with it after he makes the catch, as he was the outside man of the triplets, and then he simply curled around on a little bubble screen to the inside. Down to the 11, first and 10 Cavaliers. They lead by one. They're looking for more.
You got to love that. I mean, you know, the engine's already revving, and he's shifting to the fourth gear by the time he has the football. And he's already at full speed in just a couple of steps. That play, that little hitch has worked out beautifully.
Indeed it has. 5:46 to go here in the third quarter. Timeout on the field. Cavaliers 7, Falcons 6. Back after these messages on WSMI. As we come out of the timeout, the ball is tipped as it was passed towards Siglock, and Siglock was still able to come up with a catch. You talk about outstanding concentration. He really stayed with that one, Sean.
Yeah, that was something, and I tell you, the result wasn't the best, but that play action has certainly had some effect, as I've seen an uptick in that. Saw more of it in the second, and boy, seen a lot more of it in the third.
I just really like what I've seen from Ethan Siglock today. He has really been on top of his game, as they would say. He is the outside man of the three triplets over on the left side. Now they'll send Weiser in motion. He'll roll out this way looking for Weiser. Throws it a little wide. It's low and outside. Incomplete. 3 and 10. But either Weiser was going to catch it or nobody was going to catch that one.
Yeah, good play on back on defense. 28 Carson Maxey, like you said. He just he got that hand in there, that quick hand, and the rest is history.
Gibson City making a three-man switch up front as they're trying to bring some fresh troops in. The big boys up the middle. Cavaliers have a third. Got the referee going over to the far sideline. You know what? I'm not sure, but they didn't have to change the balls. They didn't have the right ball in there. I used to think that they ought to have one ball for everybody. None of this changing.
There were so many footballs that there was going to be a juggler competition.
All right, here we go. Everything's settled. First and 10. Duckle's going to roll out. Nobody to throw to. Now he finds a receiver, and the reception is made over in the end zone to Carson Weiser. As Carson Weiser found his way to the corner of the end zone, and he's open for the touchdown. Good job there once again by Duckles, waiting until his receiver broke open.
Yeah, I'll tell you, just on offense and defense today, patience. Success will come. It may not be instant, but if you just stick to the game plan, it will happen. And I think that's been the story today. Harlanville's been patient, opportunistic. And, boy, another big score.
Since they didn't get the extra point on the first time, they're going to try to go for two. But Coach Easterday, not sure they're set on the same page as him. So he'll call a timeout with 4:50 to go here in the third quarter. 13-6 is the Cavvy lead. Back after these messages on WSMI. Aiden Taberzi threw a touchdown pass to Ethan Siglock back about 4 minutes ago. He turns around on the next possession, leads the Cavaliers down the field, and throws a touchdown pass to Carson Weiser, 10 yards. Now the Cavaliers look like they've decided they'll go for one, leading 13-6. Taberzi is the holder. Duckles in the kicker, and the point after is good.
4:50 left to go in the
makes it 13-6 in favor of the Cavaliers. Want to remind you, we have more football coming your way later this evening as Gillespie is at Litchfield tonight. Live action coming your way at 6:45 on WSMI FM 106. And you could also hear it as it'll be streamed on WSMIRadio.com. Fighting Illini seem to have been doing pretty good with Nebraska. That's over on WAOX 105.3 if it's not already finished. Cardinal baseball is coming your way later this afternoon at 5:10. They will be at Pittsburgh taking on the Pirates. That game can be heard on WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9, and 92.9. Next week, as we look ahead, our football schedule shows us on Friday night going to Gillespie for a live contest between the Greenville Comets and the Gillespie Miners. That should be a good one. It'll come your way next Friday live at 6:30 on WSMI FM 106 and streamed on WSMIRadio.com. Then Saturday we'll have a special treat for you. Saturday afternoon game for the second week in a row. This one will see the Pena Panthers traveling down Route 16 to take on the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. That game can be heard live at 1:45 next Saturday afternoon. 1:45 is this broadcast on WSMI FM 106 and WSMIRadio.com. Well, the Cavaliers have opened up a 13-6 lead. Now they go with a high bounding kick, and it is recovered by C.H.S.
Wow, attack on
Henry Kupa.
Had about 15 yards on the run afterwards.
Jack Rouse. But,
wow.
Awesome onside kick. And you talk about adding insult to injury. The Cavaliers are going to take the ball right back, and they're going to do it in Gibson City territory one more time.
I think we're running into that. Can't advance the onside kick rule.
They're going to back that up.
Yeah.
And spot it at the 42-yard line of Gibson City. That's still okay. We'll take that. As Cavaliers with two possessions in the second half, two touchdowns. The last one to Carson Weiser.
That's a morale killer. That's a tough one.
So they picked up two touchdowns and they've got the ball back again with the onside kick. They've taken the lead. They've taken the ball back. They're going to go again. They're going to run up the middle. Look like Mason Patton not going to get much yardage there as he doesn't go too far.
Yeah, they're still feisty. Oh, boy, it has to wear you down. They have been, I don't know how many minutes I'd have to calculate, but they've been on defense for, boy, just about a full quarter. When you get right down to it, except for three plays.
Now there are defenders. They are coming over asking for a substitute to come in. And this was one thing that I thought in checking the rosters and the starters for both teams and players going both ways. I thought that it might take its toll in the second half, especially on a Saturday afternoon in August in upper mid-Illinois. Still warm up here, not maybe quite as toasty as we're used to. Not quite as humid out here today either, but nonetheless, you know it's wearing on those huge bodies. Now we're going to pass over the middle to Duckles. Duckles makes the catch. Ball is free. It's fumbled, but Cavaliers are able to recover it at the 32.
Mason Duckles fumble on the play, recovered by the Cavaliers.
Is it going to be enough for a first down?
Buddy,
number two, Carson
great
Lincoln.
Anticipation there among the fans. It's like, oh, we finally got a break here, the home crowd, and nope, access denied. Great opportunity there, but the Carlinville, great team football.
Well, the
teammate comes out and scoops up that football.
Difference between the Cavaliers in the first half and the second half, they have been making mistakes. As they have a couple of those interceptions in the first half, they have been playing mistake-free, or when they make a mistake, the teammate covers up for it. To Carson Weiser again, the bubble screen, he makes the catch. He takes the ball down inside the 20, up to the 25-yard line. Going to be a gain of about 7. Right now it just looks like the Cavaliers have the Falcons on their heels.
Yeah, I think they're going to get real sick of looking at Carson in the film room this week up here. But, boy, I'll tell you, he's not only made plays, but I think he's really brought some swagger to the offense.
Yeah, and you got to remember, while the Cavaliers' offense has been out there running around all over the place, passing here, passing there, there's been some good line blocking. Once again, enough time to make the pass to Siglock. He'll get inside the 20, down to about 17. Pick up of about 7. Going to be close to. They're going to say it's good enough for a first down. They'll mark it at the 17, give the Cavaliers a first down. However, we had a Cavalier down on the play. I think it's a cramp. I hope that's all it is. He's asking for help to get up, is Siglock. And the coaches come over and said, wait a minute, stay down there. Now they'll get him up. They'll take him over. Cavaliers having a little bit of trouble with the cramps on the legs. Now Siglock's running it out. He's like, I can do it. I'm a big boy.
So I'll tell you, they have put on a great show here this afternoon. Really gutsy performance here in the opener.
Two touchdowns here in the third quarter, threatening to get a third. Leading 14-6 against a very highly regarded Gibson City Melvin Sibley team. But one thing you have to look at is numbers on the sideline. And as we said, Gibson City has 8 two-way players. They're getting worn down just a wee bit, you do believe. Direct snap back to Taberzi. Taberzi with the pass ahead as he gives this one off to Reels. Reels makes the catch, takes the ball down to about the 8-yard line. No, give him about the 10. So we'll give him a gain of 7. Call it 2nd and 3.
I have to think we're going to see some hands on the hips, especially a play like that where multiple defenders have to chase down the receiver. That's just got to really take a little extra oomph out of you.
The word methodical comes to mind for the Cavaliers here in the third quarter. They've been very methodical, like a surgeon's knife. They've been doing a good job. This time they'll go up the middle. Ball's on the ground, and the play was already blown dead. As on the run that time, is that Mason Patton again? Yes.
Stopped in the play by number 52, Patton. Brandon Mueller.
He was brought down by Brandon Mueller, a 5'11", 215-pound senior. Ball resting on about the 8-yard line, so we give him a gain of 2, going to bring up 3rd and 1. 2-2-2 showing on that third quarter clock from the Gibson City 8-yard line. 3rd and 1. Taberzi has the troops set. He drops back. He rolls out right. Just a little swing pass. Out of bounds is Carson Weiser.
Pass complete to number 10.
He's going to make the catch and go out of bounds just inside the 5. We'll call it the 4.
Out of bounds by number 13,
it'll be
Austin
first
Casper.
And goal for the Cavvies as they're knock, knock, knocking on the door.
The
scored two times in the last 10 minutes. See if they can get a third score in the third quarter after going scoreless in the first half.
Now the red zone offense is getting it done.
Would you say that the halftime lectures have soaked in?
I would say I think message delivered and
receipt
confirmed.
Yes. All right, here we see if the Cavaliers can punch this one in as it'll be a first and goal from the 5. Taberzi swings it out. Catch is made by Patton, and he's going to be brought down for a loss on the play.
Pass complete to number 5.
As that
Patton
time on the play, Xander Weir made a good stop there. Or a loss of a short one. Let's call it at the 6. It's still second and goal, excuse me, for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, loss in the play, but Goody could haul it in because if he followed it just a little more, there were a couple of red shirts who would have gone the distance if they could have come up with the football.
Ball's over on the right hash mark. Wide receivers, 2 of them spread out over there on the left with a slot back as well. Taberzi rolls out. Oh, Taberzi is hit just as he throws the ball. And it is caught for the touchdown as Weiser goes into the end zone. The quarterback, Aiden Taberzi, with an outstanding throw. But, Sean, he never saw that completion. He was flat on his back when Carson Weiser caught it in the corner of the end zone.
A participant but not a spectator on that one. He got rocked on that play. And, you know, and again, it just the guts and composure to know you're going to get hit and deliver that smart bomb and get it to its destination GPS style, that's impressive.
Yes, he was definitely focused on getting the job done regardless of the end result for him. Point after attempt is up, and it's good.
Yes, point is good.
So the Cavaliers add 7 more points on the scoreboard. They lead this one 20-6. We still have 1:25 to go in the third quarter. We'll be back with the Cavalier kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Well, the Cavaliers have been very impressive here in the third quarter as they've come up with 3 touchdowns. And as we look at the drives, the first drive to open the third quarter was a 70-yard drive. The last 2 times, the Cavaliers have utilized great field position, 1 on an onside kick, 1 on a poor punt. They had a drive of 46 yards, 7 plays. It was Taberzi to Weiser with a 10-yard touchdown pass at 4:50. And then here with 1:25 to go in the third quarter, a 9-play, 42-yard drive, Taberzi to Carson Weiser again with a 6-yard touchdown pass. So Taberzi with touchdown passes to Siglock, Weiser, and Weiser, 3 TDs on the day, 20-6 the Cavvies lead.
Typically you'd say plenty of time, but this is a run first, second, and third offense with the Falcons. So will it change how they play? It doesn't look like it so far.
They're going to start on their own 40-yard line with the running game. They're going to try to swing to the outside, and it's going to be a flag thrown. I think that was, as you would say with your rodeo terms, a bulldog tackle.
Yeah.
Stop the number, play by number 27, Jack Rouse, flag on the play.
He got hold of that face mask. Oh, they're going to call. Oh, they're calling.
Personal foul, horse collar.
Horse collar. Personal foul, horse collar. So there's your question if the high school still has that.
Yeah. I would have rather it gone unanswered.
In any event, it's going to be a big, take smaller steps, if you would, sir. He moves the ball down into Cavalier territory, down to the Carlinville 47-yard line, where it'll be a first and 10 for the Falcons. We trail in this one 20-6, haven't scored since 4:41 to go in the first quarter. Shut out in the second quarter. They've been shut out thus far here in the third quarter. Double wing formation. Wing back in motion. Fake the toss sweep. There's the pass down the sideline. Whoa! Receiver cramped up, and you could tell he stopped. Right. It looked like almost like somebody shot him. Pulled up lane there. And that... That was Kellen Fanson, the 6'1", 180-pound junior.
man, when things don't go your way, they don't go your way.
I thought those cramps came on you like that only in old age, but
wow.
He was right in the middle of running.
Yeah, and you know what? They sold it well. And
you know, that never happens to me anymore. Never. You know why? I don't run. All right, we've got a wing and a slot and a split end. We're going to go to the fullback, and it's going to be a nice run up the middle there, as that was number 31. That is Aiden Sankin in the ball game with a nice run that they'll mark the ball down to the 41. So we'll give him a gain of six, call it third, and third about five. Maybe.
Well, boy, it looked like the county tractor pole out there. He was
tugging away.
Snowball rolling downhill.
I will have a receiver split out wide to the left side near us as they're going from our right to our left to the south end zone. Haven't been there for a while. Second back gets the ball. Second back makes a nice run. And that is Aiden Sankin with the first down run as he'll take the ball down to the 33-yard line. To the 33, a pickup of eight. Needed five. First and 10 for the Falcons.
33 of the Cavaliers.
And they mess with the recipe a little bit, but they're still staying true to their recipe for winning football.
Go back up the middle again. This time the Cavaliers are there and waiting. Well, the first one in there was Kai Williams.
Stop by number 64, Harrison Naputi.
Naputi was in there as well. That's going to be the end of the third quarter. The Cavaliers with a very productive third quarter. We'll head to the fourth. Carlinville 20. Gibson City 6. Back after these messages on WSMI. Well, as we open up the third quarter, Gibson City has the ball. They are waiting for the Cavaliers to break the huddle. It'll be a second and 10 for GCMS, as they will now be heading to the north. The wind has basically been coming out of the west-southwest, so it's more of a crosswind than it is a favoring wind for either team. But right now, the Falcons need something to favor them, as they were shut out in the third quarter, and the Cavaliers came up with three scores and take a 20-6 lead into the fourth quarter.
Ball carry number 22, Ty Cribbett.
Tyler Cribbett, the ball carrier for the Falcons. He picks up another 4 or 5 yards. Let's call it a third and about five. As Zach Reels came up with the stop. Ball resting on about the 22-yard line. Excuse me, 27-yard line. Third and five. Falcons looking to see if they can come up with their first score since the first quarter. They scored at 4:41 of the first quarter, and that was a dynamic 70-yard run by Aiden Roffery. Now a mix-up in the backfield. The Carlinville Cavaliers
fumble
are there quickly. And there is a fumble.
Cavaliers.
It's going to be covered by the Cavaliers. Kai Williams come up with the fumble
after
recovery. And so the Cavaliers doing things right, as this time it was Kai Williams coming up with the fumble, as the Cavaliers will take over, stopping the Falcons on the 27-yard line. And they'll get the ball. They'll call it their own 28. And now, of course, the Cavaliers leading 21-6, excuse me.
Yeah, they're not used to afternoons like this here. It's been quite a turnabout here in the second half.
Flag on the play.
They've had a lot to celebrate over the years, but this has been a tough afternoon for the Falcon faithful.
Bring out first and 15.
So it's 21-6, excuse me, as the Cavaliers have converted on all three of the first downs. Now it is Patton, who's going to run to the outside.
Mason Patton
gets a nice run out to the 40-yard line. for a first down for the Cavaliers.
Got a first and 10 for the Cavaliers.
And we're getting to the point where taking time off of the scoreboard might be more important than points.
Yeah, we're inside 11 minutes. 21-6 is the score. The Cavaliers with three touchdowns. Knuckles with three kicked extra points for their 21 points. As Taberzi stands back there with one man behind him. Looks like the Falcons want to blitz some linebackers. They get to Patton as he comes to the line of scrimmage. He makes a short gain, maybe to the 42. Give him a gain of one, make it second and nine.
They just keep on chugging. And again, you know, it's hard for us to calculate time of possession stats, but that has to be an ugly one right now.
Yeah. Well, the Cavaliers are at it again, second and nine. I thought they were going to have two guys in motions, but they're just going to shift, put them over on the right side. Two lead blockers there. Coach Easterday barking something from the sideline. They go back against the grain and against all of the blockers over there on the sideline. As it is Patton, who has a nice run out over the 40 to about the 46. Give him a gain of about four. Let's call it third. About four for the Cavaliers. Ball resting on the 38-yard line.
Austin Casper on the stop.
Third and manageable.
I'm looking into the sun. I'm losing these numbers on the field now. So from their own 48, Cavaliers with blockers all over the place, and now they're going to pull. They were on the left side. They pulled to the right side. Patton followed him. Gets over midfield. Gets close to first down. I think they're going to give him a first down as he's to the Gibson City 48-yard line. Cavaliers with a first and 10.
Boy, he had a great last nudge or two against, a couple of, we're starting to see the hands on the hips. Two or three defenders who just have to be exhausted out there.
Well, that time, Patton followed the convoy. He had some big lead blockers who just wedge blocked him right ahead, got him to the first down. Cavaliers moving that ball and moving that clock inside 9 minutes we go. As Patton goes way out wide, they're going to go bubble screen instead to Weiser. Carson Weiser is going to get close to the first down.
Pass they're going
to
give him the first Carson down Weiser.
As he'll get down to the Gibson City 37-yard line, gain of 11.
Gain of 10 on the play gives
first
the Cavaliers and 10 first and
for
10
the Cavaliers.
At the Falcon, 37.
I have to think the Falcon D is frustrated because, you know, I talked about imposing your will, and, boy, the Cavaliers, on that play, the only ones stopping them on the play is themselves.
Ooh, that guy Patton,
and
there was somebody who came across and said, time to make a play.
Yeah, and
stop by number 31, Ethan Sankin.
Yeah, they still got some bite.
That was Aiden Sankin who came through and says, time for me to make a big play. Loss of two, back to the 39, going to make it second and 11. Cavaliers leading 21-6, down to 8 minutes we go as the clock continues to run. Taberzi, who's been shotgun all day, and one thing that we should mention that never gets mentioned unless they mess up, and that's the shotgun snap. And it has been outstanding all day long. Kai Williams, the center, has been doing an outstanding job of making perfect shotgun passes to the quarterback, Aiden Taberzi.
Well, that makes all the difference. Yeah, your quarterback gets in a rhythm, gets momentum, and that's a big part of it.
And we're going to have a new back coming in. Jake Schwartz comes in for the Carlinville Cavaliers. He'll set up at actually it's a slot position. The Siglock will be the wide receiver out here. And Schwartz will be in the slot. 5'8", 140-pound junior. Siglock gets the pass, has the lead blockers ahead of him as he runs that bubble, goes to the inside, takes it inside the 35, close to the 30. We'll mark him at the 31, give him a gain of 8.
7 on the play, brings up 4th and 5.
I'm telling you, and the confidence they have in that bubble screen is something because you know, he's getting to football in some pretty crowded conditions. It's like driving down a narrow one-lane road, and just finds that space.
Yeah, the blockers are kind of setting up a wall so that he can make the cut back to the middle, and they've got his back as he cuts through. Excellent read. Now play fake as he's going to go deep on the run that throws up and almost intercepted. That in the first half might have been intercepted, but this time it doesn't go anywhere. May have been just as well that they didn't intercept, because as a result, the Falcons will get the ball first and 10, and they will do so at the 31-yard line. If he'd have made the interception, they'd have had the ball back around the 10.
Yeah, don't kick yourself, guy. He was frustrated, but, yeah.
In his mind, though, he was going to intercept and pick six.
It's hard to get rid of that reflex. Just like when someone serves you a steak. It's like, oh, got to have it.
All right, so from the 32, it'll be first and 10 for Gibson City. They trail this one 21-6 as the Cavaliers put together three touchdown passes. 1 to Sigloff, 2 to Weiser. Duffel's good on the point after kick each time, making it 21-6 Cavaliers. We have 7:02 to go. Timeout on the field. We'll take a break as well. You're listening to WSMI. This opportunity to congratulate the University of Illinois on their victory over Nebraska in their season opener. Always nice to be 1-0, no matter who your opponent is. But when it's a Big Ten rival, it's a little bit sweeter.
Yeah, I think they hired the right guy. I think they got the right man for the gig.
All right, as we come back to live action, it will be a first and 10 from their own 32 for the Gibson City's Melvin Sibley Falcons. They're going to go to the air. Pump fake, receivers deep behind everybody, but the pass is thrown out of bounds. Even the assistant coach on the sideline couldn't get that.
And, you know, the Carlinville passing game, you talked about that pretty good wind being a crosswind, and you're trying to come from behind and throw it 30, 40 yards down the field. That crosswind is not your friend, and it certainly wasn't on that pass.
Brings up a second 10. The good thing, as far as the Falcon fans are concerned, is that at least it stopped the clock. Now, Twins left, Twins right for Gibson City. Shane Schlickman is almost in the different zip code. Ooh, now, DeShepherd, he gets away from the pursuit.
Paul Perry,
gets out of
six.
Bounds, out at about the 35, 36-yard line. Made something out of nothing there.
Yeah, and I thought a smart play on defense there is you didn't overcommit, didn't give him the room to make a big play. It's like, okay, we're gonna give you a little extra room here, but I'm not gonna open up the door to the big play.
I like the way he was able to duck under the pursuit of the Cavaliers. That will be a point of emphasis for the defense of CHS this coming week. When you get back there, make sure he goes down there. Third and long. And this time he does go down.
Ball carry number six, Kellen DeShepherd.
As it was coming up first.
Second in the backfield
was Connor Strutner.
Number 22.
And then following up was Ryan Hart. They bring him for a loss at the 30-yard line. Loss of six. Going to bring up fourth and 11. 6:35 on that fourth quarter clock. 21-6. The visitors from the South, South Central Conference as well. They lead Carlinville 21. Gibson City 6. Back after this on WSMI. Jen Graham, our producer, back in the studio in the air conditioning. Sean Blint in the sunshine right in front of me. I'm Gary Volker. I'm in the press box, and the sun's coming in on me as well. Nice, gentle breeze for us. Comfortable lead for the Cavaliers. Couldn't ask for a whole lot more on a Saturday. Fourth down. Falcons going to go for it. Quarterback's in trouble. He's going to try to throw. He can't throw. He fumbles. He picks up his fumble, and he runs out of bounds at the 30-yard line.
Colin DeShepherd.
Looked like a play from the sand lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the broken play defined. What the poor gentleman who had suffered a cramp on that potential touchdown. Boy, he really, that's one of the worst cramp cases. They're still working on it. And certainly in a cramp type area. So, you know, not all cramps, as you know, are made equal.
But the Cavaliers, they are in great shape now. The ball resting on Gibson City's 30-yard line. Cavaliers have had drives of 70, 46, and 42. So they have utilized the short field twice. This time, it's at the 30-yard line of Gibson City, the shortest field for the Cavs. Siglock going to give the ball off to Patton. Patton going to go up the middle.
Ball carrier number 5 to Mason Patton.
He's going to be brought down there
by
Britton Mitchell.
Up second down 9.
On the play. We'll give him a gain of 1 to the 29. Call it second and 9. Now, of course, here's a situation where the Cavaliers would like, of course, to score again, but they'd like to take their time and score. Their defense has been well rested here in the second half. Only one extended drive by Gibson City, and that ended in a fumble. Other than that, it's been 3 and out, 4 and out. That's been about it. Patton to the sideline. Oop, put the brakes on, but not in time as he goes out of bounds just inside the 20-yard line. He was hoping he could cut back, but he gets enough for a first down. So the Cavaliers on the move again, leading 21-7 in the red zone. They're knocking on the door one more time.
Boy, I'll tell you what, on that pitch, it's like he filed a flight plan with the FAA. He just went in a straight line before, you know, that hopeful turn. But, boy, he just had no opposition as he went for the marker.
The receivers over on that side ran the secondary and the outside back are off. They're going to try it up the middle. Tay Hook.
Patton, the ball carrier.
Mason Patton does a pretty good job of going right up the middle this time, as he'll take it to about the 11-yard line. Be a 9-yard gain. Make it second and 7.
What a performance here in this opener. I thought they played solid football, flawed but solid football in the first. They're definitely a different team here in the second half.
They got their legs under. Maybe it was a flight delay on the air.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a bus delay. By this time, Patton is going to be wrapped up for a loss on the play.
Taken on the stop for the Falcons.
There's something to that. I still remember I was always last on the bus. Because
third down,
was in the, we'd go out for a track meet. I was on the furthest classroom away from the bus, so I'd always get stuck with half a seat.
Bus lag, that's what it is. Jet lag, we'll have bus lag.
Oh, man.
It really is
a science.
I always try to tell my kids, if you move up to the front of the bus, you're not sitting on that back axle. And when you hit a bump on a bus, that back axle really will take you up and down. It's a joyride if you're in good shape and want to have some excitement. It's a pain in the back, literally a pain in the back if not. Want to remind you that we have more football coming your way today. We've got the Fighting Illini. I've already come up with their victory over Nebraska. But we're going to have a second game on the air tonight. It will be the Gillespie Miners at Litchfield to take on the Litchfield Purple Panthers. That game will come your way live tonight at 6:45 on WSMI FM 106.1 and WSMIRadio.com. And then, of course, Cardinal baseball is coming your way. The don't say later today, but it's not much later. It'll be on at 5:10 this afternoon on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9 and 92.9 as the Cardinals are in Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates. Overcame a tough loss the other night to come back with a 4-3 win last night. We'll see how the Cards and the Pirates do tonight. You can hear it all on WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9, or 92.9, starting at 5:10 tonight. As we look ahead to next week's schedule, Friday night we'll have a live game, the Greenville Comets taking on the Gillespie Miners in Gillespie. That live action will come your way at 6:30 next Friday on WSMI FM 106.1 and WSMIRadio.com. Then on Saturday afternoon, we'll have another live contest under the sunshine, under the sun, we hope, as the Painted Panthers travel down Route 16 to take on the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. So it'll be the Panthers versus the Toppers live at 1:45 next Saturday on WSMI FM 106.1 and WSMIRadio.com. After the timeout, third down and nine for the Cavaliers. Reels goes in motion, and he swings down the far side. Pass is aired out and incomplete. Intended for,
pass intended for number
Ryan Hart.
Ryan Hart.
Hart could not come up with that, so the incomplete pass brings up a fourth and nine for the Cavaliers from the 17-yard line.
Yeah, pretty tight defense there. A couple of hand checks, but, you know, they make you earn that pass interference call at this level. So, good call.
Yeah, this time of the game, I think they're going to be just a little bit more relaxed.
Absolutely.
Three receivers stacked over on the right side. They may be the lead blockers. No, they're going to be receivers. No, they're going to clear out for the man coming underneath, Ethan Siglock. He makes the catch. He dives forward. He is in the end zone. Ethan Siglock with his second touchdown reception of the day. This one is good for 17 yards and another Cavalier touchdown.
That's what a certain announcer, you know, would call your dagger. That closes the deal there for certain.
I'll tell you what, Ethan Siglock just really stretched out and extended all he could to get to that end zone as he reached across the goal line for the touchdown. Now the point after attempt for Duckles is up. It's high. It's long. Nope, they're going to say it is no good.
Remaining in the contest, the Carlinville Cavaliers 27, Cartesimus Falcons 6.
So it's 27-6 as Duckle's kick is no good. And if you're going to miss a point after, I would say when you have a 27-6 lead, that's about the time to do it.
I think I'm on board with that. Still up by 21, you can't complain.
21-point lead with 3:55 to go here at Gibson City. I guess you could call this the heartland of Illinois, but I think really we've got some claim to that as well down in our area.
Quite a debate, isn't it?
Well, both areas have some quality football programs. And year in, year out, you see some very good programs coming from this part of the state as well as from our part of the state. And I think we're going to see that in the South Central Conference this year. Last night, Pena with a nice win over Vandalia. Talking to my son who broadcast that game, he said Vandalia, a very good opponent. They will win their share of games, he said. He was very impressed with Vandalia. We were very impressed with Greenville last night as they defeated Hillsboro. Tonight we'll see how Litchfield and Gillespie match up, as that will be our live game this evening on WSMI. You can hear that live at 6:45 tonight. Gillespie at Litchfield, WSMI FM 106.1, and we'll also stream it at WSMIRadio.com. Purple Panthers taking on the Gillespie Miners. Purple Panthers haven't had a game for a while as they were out last year, did not play a varsity schedule.
Falcons recover the ball at the 40-yard line.
Boy, How about the passion of those Greenville fans raising and the boosters in that town? They've done some great things with events and raising almost $1 million for turf. That's pretty impressive.
Last night they were had buckets at the admission areas that you came in. Young lady down there suffering from a serious illness, and a good campaign there as both teams or both schools, both programs, both communities contributed to those donation buckets last night. Another thing about the South Central Conference, they not only play football, but they care about people. Now this completed pass goes.
Pass completed to number 22, Tyler Cribbett.
Tyler Cribbett. Cribbett's had a few good catches here. A short gain of about three, going to bring up second and eight. More importantly, the clock continues to run as we're down to 3:33 showing on the fourth quarter clock.
And they're huddling up. There's no two-minute offense, none of that.
Well, I don't think they have a three-touchdown package right now. They want to run their game. They know that maybe, whoa, we got a fan lining up offside for the Cavaliers. Can't you see that?
Wow.
It didn't go call.
Whoa.
I can't believe that. P.H. Hanna.
Number 20.
He was closer to their backfield than he was to the line of scrimmage. I exaggerate, Gage. I'm sorry. If you can get away with it, get away with it. Now it's going to be difficult because the ball is spotted at the 45, but they're going to mark off the penalty as they're going to. The officials are talking, and I have no idea. One official is holding the ball, so we can't snap the ball. As we've got the ball in the official's hands, but we're going to spot it. Now the man in the white hat is going to say dead ball. Oh, they did catch him. I'm sorry, I must have spoke too loud. As that time, Gage Hanna was caught.
Four.
They'll pick up 5 yards. I think picked up 4 yards, I think. Anyway, they'll move the ball out to about the 46. It's still going to be second down. Still about 6 yards to go, five or six. Important thing is the clock runs to the 3 minute mark with a flag thrown again.
Oh my.
Well, you know what's happening now, don't you? We've got guys in black and white striped shirts. They have not had a chance to get the hanky out of their pocket. They want to see what they can do. And let everybody know I've got one of these too. Now, the honest thing of it is the same guy was offsides, so it's another 5 yard penalty. Gives the Falcons a first and 10. Takes the ball inside Cavalier territory, but we'll still call it the 50. Just over the 50. Now we'll step back and stay onside this time. Nobody's offside, I can tell. Fake pass, going to go deep. Nobody's there. Now over the middle. Pass is intercepted. Nope. It's not NFL rules. You can't go up and run after you made the interception.
Henry Kupa.
But now outstanding INT for Henry Kupa. Henry Kupa with the INT.
When things are going your way, they're going your way.
Well, the interceptions in the first half thwarted the Cavaliers. This time it thwarts the Falcons. 2:37 to go. Ball going to be placed at the 29-yard line.
Yeah, pump fakes you are known for making guys freeze a little bit and opening up some separation, but, you know, there were like three or four pumps. I don't know if they were necessarily pump fakes, but it did not impact the defense at all.
From their own 29 now, Cavaliers keeping it on the ground. They're going to hand off. They'll give it to Luke Daugherty. Daugherty, who came up with some nice runs in the first half. A good run there, but I think it's going to be called back. There's a flag over on the other side. What did I tell you about the referees and the officials and the flags? That guy, he's kicking his flag.
Well, plus they're getting screen time. They got animated versions of themselves on the video board.
I'm not sure what that wasn't, an illegal block by the Cavaliers as they turned the corner. But, as is often the case, we have to have a conference with the officials. 2:30 to go between the football game ending and us heading back south to Montgomery County, Macoupin County, and other points south. But we want to remind you once again, Cardinals and Pirates coming your way at 5:10 on WSMI FM 1540, 106.9, and 92.9. The game's coming your way less than an hour.
I'm a little mystified. Holding isn't exactly one of those obscure parts of the rule book where you have to have a conversation, but it seemed like they were digging deep on that conversation.
Well, I think they changed it from a felony to a misdemeanor. In any event, the Cavaliers don't really care. They'll have the ball back at the 29, and that's where I had it marked to begin with, first and 10. And that's where it still is, first and 10.
Ball period number 42, Luke Daugherty.
Daugherty with a nice run as he takes the ball off the left side, turns the corner, gets out over the 35 to the 36. We'll give him a gain of about 6, call it second and 4 for the Cavies. That's important, but what's more important is we're approaching 100 seconds left in this one. Cavaliers are going to have a happy bus trip home as they're leading in this one 27-6. And they will take a week one win. Again to Daugherty it goes. Off tackle, he'll
go
up to about the 38. Gain of maybe a couple more. Going to bring up third and short. For the Cavaliers, we watch the clock continue to run down to the last minute and 10 seconds.
Stopped on the play by
Cavies.
Number 28,
not in a hurry to get this one started. I don't see a play clock on either end.
Nope, I am with you. I don't.
So they're keeping that on
I don't
the clock.
Either.
All right. You watch for the official back here at the very back. He should start marking. There he starts marking with the last 5 seconds, moving his hand, similar to what an official in basketball does, counting for the free throw time. First down for the Cavaliers as they'll get the ball out to about the 44. Needed two, picked up six, first and 10, CHS. That should do it. They'll move the chains. They will wind up the clock. And when they do, 34 seconds will click off, and this one will go in the books as a Carlinville victory over a very fine Gibson City Melvin Sibley Falcons team. And if I had one thing to say about these young men from Gibson City, they poured their heart out tonight, and there was just a little bit too much heat, a little bit too much stress, a little bit too much Cavies in your face in the second half.
Boy, no doubt about it. And boy, that passing game and that passing attack just changed the game. And Carlinville, this is a W you can be proud of.
Yes, and I think as far as Gibson City is concerned, a game in which I know they will have learned a lot. And as it gets cooler and their stamina increases, those big boys up front, they're going to be more effective in the second half as the teams line up at midfield, come across with the pleasantries. As both teams holding their heads high after this game, a game well played. We might also say a game well officiated as well.
I would agree. They gave them enough rope, didn't let anything get out of hand, and made the right calls, didn't take over the game. I would say well done indeed.
And I was just kidding about the hankies, in case any of you are following me home.
You got to have fun in garbage time, you know?
Well, you got that right. And I'll tell you what, as we said, a very well-played game by both teams. We'll take a quick break and come back and summarize this Cavalier victory on WSMI. Well, the first half, you'd have to say, was not necessarily dominated, but you'd have to give the advantage to Gibson City as they had the only score of the first half, a 70-yard touchdown run by Aiden Loffery, and I guarantee you he's going to have more touchdown runs like that during this season. However, from that point on, the 4:41 mark of quarter number one, the Gibson City Melvin Sibley Falcons were shut out. Cavaliers were frustrated with a couple of interceptions in the first half as the defense for Gibson City held tough. They took that 6-0 lead into the locker room. At halftime, the Carlinville coaching staff made some adjustments to be sure. The passing game came out much more accurate, much more deadly in the third quarter, as in quarter number three, the Cavaliers pitched three touchdowns to Bursey, to Ethan Sieglock, a 7-yard touchdown pass at the 8:25 mark, Aiden to Bursey, to Carson Weiser, a 10-yard touchdown pass at the 4:50 mark of the third quarter, and Aiden to Bursey, to Carson Weiser, a 6-yard touchdown pass in the third quarter to open up a 21-7 lead. And then the Cavaliers added on a later touchdown once again to Bursey, to Ethan Sieglock, this time for 17 yards. Point after attempt was no good. 27-6 was our final score. Aiden to Bursey with four touchdown passes on the afternoon. Carlinville Cavaliers with a much improved second half showed just what they're made of in picking up victory number one.
Yeah, you stick to your game plan. You don't panic. You don't overreact. And just good stuff and some big plays. But really, you know, not one of those games where you had a 70-yard touchdown here, 80-yard there. There was good sustained football, winning football, the kind of the way you win football games from week one through hopefully the postseason.
And of course, some teams last night or this weekend, they had big blowout wins. Part of that being because they didn't have the competition, perhaps. This was a very good win against a very competitive team, and this is one that I think the Cavaliers will take home, and they will really build on it. And I know this Gibson City team, with their tradition, they're going to build and learn from this ball game. They're going to be a better team next week. I guarantee it.
Yeah, it was just an enjoyable experience, and no doubt they will bounce back. And great hospitality here, and a great town, and just a great just a great place to play a football game. Nice to get that rare non-conference experience, and this is something new, something fun, and I hope people enjoyed it. I wish more people could have made the trip, but I know it's a tough haul on a Saturday afternoon.
I know we enjoyed bringing it to them. As you said, it was an enjoyable experience for us as well. We want to take this opportunity to thank our sponsors for making these games possible. Without them, we're not able to bring you any high school athletic competitions. So thank you to our sponsors. That's number one. Thank you to our fans for listening in, especially those who could not make it up here for the long trip. We're glad that we're able to bring it to you, and we're glad that you're listening in. And, of course, special thanks goes back to the studio, to Jen Graham, our producer for today's action. For Sean Valent, this is Gary Volker. One final time, our final score, the Carlinville Cavaliers, 27. The Gibson City Melvin Sibley Falcons, 6. 27-6, Cavies with win number one. And we're signing off from the gridiron. So long.